Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Jesse the Planet is here. Kathy's got a great message we wanted to show you here on our broadcast entitled, Come and Drink. Are you ready to be refreshed? It's nothing like a great, wonderful drink with crushed ice in it, especially if you're sweating like in New Orleans with 100 degrees and 100% humidity. A good drink is good. It's a blessing. So, Kathy, teach us the Word of God. Watch this, people. You will be blessed and you will be refreshed.
Let's turn to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. In this chapter, the people had many different reactions toward Jesus. You know, when he walked the earth, not everybody received him. Y'all know the story. That's why they crucified him. They didn't like the fact that people were following him. The religious crowd was envious. The Bible says it was for envy that they crucified him. But in this chapter, we start to see that many people had different reactions about Jesus. Some called him a good man, the Messiah, the prophet who's coming, who had been predicted by Moses. Others called him a fraud, demon-possessed, and a false teacher. Even his brothers, we learn about in this chapter, chapter 7, had a difficult time believing in him. Because of Jesus' virgin birth, they were only half-brothers, right? Mary, not Joseph, was Jesus' only human parent. And we read that in the scriptures. But some of these brothers would eventually become leaders in the church, but for several years they were embarrassed by Jesus. In fact, you read this in this chapter. We're going to see that in a moment. The Gospel of Matthew lists Jesus' brothers as James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. I realize that this is opposite from what the Catholic Church may have taught you if you grew up in Catholic Church, which I did. Because we were taught that it was Blessed Mary, ever virgin. Well, this is not true. The scriptures bore it out that she had children. After Jesus was born, the Bible talks about how Joseph knew her, and then she had other children. Jesus has had brothers. After he died and rose again, they finally believed. In fact, James authored the New Testament epistle that bears his name, and also, and he became the leader of the Jerusalem church. And Judas also called Jude, that's another name for that name, Judas, wrote the epistle that bears his name. That's that gospel, that little epistle right before the book of Revelation. But because the world hated Jesus, we who follow him can expect that some people are going to hate us as well. Sometimes when people manifest, you don't really know why, but a lot of behind all of it is if the devil is motivating them, they can't handle the Jesus that's in you. Amen. Just like when Jesus walked the earth, the demons cried out, "Why have you come to torment us?" Well, the Jesus in you will bring about a manifestation in people that don't know him. Amen. But that's okay. That's how they come to know him. They start questioning, "Why am I reacting this way?" And then we pray for them, and pretty soon they get born again. Amen. That's the plan, amen?
Amen.
Let's read John chapter 7, verse 1 through 8. I'm going to read in the NLT. That's the New Living Translation. It says, after this, Jesus traveled around Galilee. He wanted to stay out of Judea where the Jewish leaders were plotting his death. But soon it was time for the Jewish festival of shelters, and Jesus' brothers said to him, leave here and go to Judea where your followers can see your miracles. They said it with sarcasm. You can't become famous if you hide like this. If you can do such wonderful things, show yourself to the world. Verse 5, even his brothers didn't believe in him. Verse 6, Jesus replied, now is not the right time for me to go, but you can go anytime. The world can't hate you, but it does hate me because I accuse it of doing evil. You go on, but I'm not going to this festival because my time has not yet come. Some translation says I'm not going yet, because we learned that he did eventually go. That this chapter talks about that. You see, Jesus and his brothers were referring to this Feast of Tabernacles. I taught about this many months back in the Wednesday night, but the Lord wanted me to bring out just a portion of that and to enlarge upon it too, so we can see some things about how important it is for us to come and drink. You know, and Wednesday night, we got a drinking section, I got to tell you. They regularly drink, and they have the effect of what drinkers have. They get drunk in the Holy Ghost many times on a Wednesday night. So it's important that you know that you need to come and drink, participate. Amen? Amen. And it's something about drinkers. I'm telling you what. Even in the natural with alcohol, they always want you to drink with them. Well, I'm like that. I'm drunk with the Holy Ghost most of the time, and I want everybody else drunk with me. I remember before I got born again, and Jesse was always a drinker. Y'all have heard his testimony. I never did drink. I didn't like it. I was never attracted to it. My father was an alcoholic. He was always either drunk, or my stepfather, a second one. My mother married four times. Some of them, two of them were really heavy drinkers. It never was attractive to me. But I remember I would go around places with Jesse, and they'd all want me to drink with them. And I got tired of saying, no, I don't want anything. After a while, I just grabbed a can of beer, so I just held it. I didn't like it. I just so they'd shut up. That's something about people who drink. They want you to participate with them. Yes. Well, that's why those of us who are filled with the Holy Spirit, yes, and drunk on God, if you want to call it that way, we want everybody else to experience it because it's a good life. And you're not going to have a hangover. You're not going to do things you don't think you should have done. It's something about living for God and experiencing Him. And this is what Jesus is going to say. We're going to read this later in this chapter. It's so important that you realize that God really does want you to come. Jesus came so that you can come and drink of Him. You can be refreshed. You can receive everything that you need in this life. Amen. Anybody interested in doing that? Hallelujah. I know I'm in the right house. Those of you that are watching online, you can participate as well. And it's full of good things that you can enjoy. Amen, in God's word. But this is, he was talking about the Festival of Tabernacles, and it's described in Leviticus chapter 23. We're not going to go there. But this was one of the three annual events that the people and the families all came to, and it occurred about 6 months after the Passover celebration. It commemorated the days when the Israelites wandered in the wilderness and they lived in shelters or booths. You may have heard it called the Festival of Booths or Sukkot, I think they call it. Something like that. I look to Betty because she's like my go-to. She helps keep me straight sometimes. Don't blame it all on her, though. It's not her fault. Hallelujah. But everyone at this festival was walking and around and talking about Jesus. They were looking for him. But when it came time to speak up for him in public, most of them didn't say a word. Why? Because they were all afraid. They knew what the leaders, the Jewish leaders or the Pharisees thought. And they knew that if they spoke up and were openly vocal about him, they could risk being excommunicated from the temple, and nobody really wanted that. So a lot of them were quiet. This is why Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. And there's another story you'll read in John chapter 9 where the parents of the man who Jesus had healed, the Pharisees, the rulers asked them, what about your son? Was he always this way? Because they had a big investigation when Jesus healed that man that was paralyzed from birth. And so he said, was it paralyzed? Blind. I knew I was wrong. Thank you. It wasn't in my notes, but I knew that Jesus had to explain this because he had been blind from birth. And the Pharisees were asking the parents, and they said, well, you ask him. Well, he's a grown man. He's 40-something years old. Why don't you just ask him? Well, they didn't want to answer because it says in the scriptures that they feared them, that they would be excommunicated in their own son. An amazing miracle. This is what legalism and fanaticism like that will do to you. It'll bind you and silence you. We know a lot about cancel culture today, don't we? But we can't allow things to silence our voice. We have a voice. But at this festival, everybody was looking for him. And these Jewish leaders had a great deal of power over these common people. That's why they didn't want to speak up about Jesus. But most of the people were probably not aware of the plot to kill Jesus. And we've read that, that really started in John chapter 5. There was a small group of people looking for the right opportunity to kill him. But the majority of people were trying to decide what they believed about him. So Jesus went secretly to this Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem, and he taught in the temple. And then let's go to verse 37. We're going to read some things and discover some things today. Because on the last day, the great day of the feast, the eighth day, Jesus made a public declaration. Verse 37, it's going to read John chapter 7, verse 37 and 39 through 39. It says, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. This eighth day is significant. This eighth day is such a special time. It indicates infinity. It indicates this is something significant of this day. This eighth day of the feast was also a Sabbath. So during this feast, they actually had two Sabbaths. And the last feast day of the year was distinguished by many remarkable ceremonies. Now, this was so significant because at the very moment that Jesus stood up and made this declaration, which we just read, where he said, if anyone who believes in me may come and drink, anyone who believes in me may come and drink, and rivers of living water will flow from his heart. One translation talks about flowing from his innermost being, from his belly. This is a refreshing that comes from God when you receive him and accept him. Amen? And the very moment that Jesus stood up and made this statement is so significant because this was here it was at the end of this festival, and there was a priest that would go down and he would grab a golden pitcher from this pool of Siloam, and he would fill it up, and he would come up, and the people would make a circle around in the temple. They would make a circle and they would pour the water out. And so this was a very significant moment when he stood up. It just wasn't a quiet thing. The people of that day knew that he was comparing himself to this living water. And they knew that he was declaring himself to be the Messiah. So it was so very significant. And they had heard him, the Messiah, the Son of God, come there that day in the temple and declare it. This was a significant celebration. One commentary on this verse says, the generally joyous character of this feast broke out on this day in loud jubilation, particularly at the solemn moment when the priest, which was done on every day of this festival, brought forth a golden vessel, water from the stream of Siloam, which flowed under the temple mountain and solemnly poured it on the altar. We're going to read Isaiah in a moment, but this is what it says, how this is what so many things were done symbolically. So they knew that this was a defining moment when Jesus was revealing to them who he was. So Jesus did an amazing thing. Another commentary I read, it says, so ecstatic was the joy with which this ceremony was performed. It was accompanied with the sound of trumpets. And it used to be said that who had not witnessed it had never seen rejoicing at all. So these people really knew how to get down with a bad self, as we say. So they were such rejoicing, and trumpets were playing, and it was a great festive celebration. And Jesus stood up and said, anybody that's thirsty, come and drink, and you're going to receive living water. This is what Jesus came to give to the world, and this is what refreshes us when we learn how to tap into that flow. Amen? When we learn to grab hold of what God has done. Jesus' words, come and drink, alluded to the theme of many Bible passages that talk about the Messiah's life-giving blessings. We're going to read three of them from the book of Isaiah real quick so you can see that these people really had to have known what was going on that day. And you know, when there's a move of God, when there's a visitation of God, it's so important that we jump right in. Yeah. That we don't sit there and try to analyze it or figure it out or criticize it, but we just say, yes, Lord. Me too, Lord. I want it too. Yeah. Amen? So whenever Jesus said he would bring living water that would forever quench someone's thirst for God, he revealed himself as the Messiah. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. I'll give you time to turn there. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. Now, this is the scripture they would all pronounce and declare as this was happening, when this water was being poured out. It says, with joy will you drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. Amen. With joy, and they would declare this as a group, as a whole. I heard one commentary talk about how the procession that would even happen, they would be carrying these palms, and these branches that they would get. This was part of a thing that they would use to construct these booths so that they would recognize and remember that they were in the wilderness and God protected them. He was their provider. He gave everything. He wanted them to never forget what happened during that time when he delivered his people with all those wonders and signs and miracles and the kind of God they serve. We need to be reminded. Yes, hallelujah, about how good our God is. Don't ever forget what he's done for you in the past. It should always be a reminder that he's got even more ahead in the future, yes, for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Keep yourself stirred up and refreshed with God and let him continually come and drink from him so you'll always remember that he's a good God. He's always looking for ways to do you good. Amen. So these people of that day knew that's what was going on. There's a big procession. I'm talking about 8 days of a festival. 8 days a week is not enough to show I love you. The Beatles wrote about that. 8 days a week. For 8 days, they did all kinds of things to remind God, for God to be reminded, to remind them, and for them to be reminded about how much God loves them. So these one talked about that I had read about that how the priests would have these big branches, and they would walk in procession, and they take like a left foot together, and then a right foot together, and then and the sound of it, and it was groups, and so I don't know the numbers of them, but it was a large number of them when we're doing this. It's like we know about parades over here. Right? But this was a parade like no other parade you've ever heard about. This was a parade glorifying God about his great deliverance and his goodness to his people. And they were walking it out. Sometimes you just got to walk out the goodness of God and remember what he did for you. When you prayed for your family to be born again, when you prayed for that bill to be paid, when you prayed for that healing in your body and God restored you to wholeness. Amen? He's a good God. Only the Messiah could give this gift that satisfies our soul. Let's turn and look at another scripture in Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44. I want us to read verse 3 and 4. Isaiah 44, 3 and 4. It says, for I will pour out water to quench your thirst and irrigate your parched fields. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your children. Yes. So this was what was referring to. This was symbolic of what God had planned to do for his people. Yes. Water is essential to life, right? We can go long periods without food, but all of God's creation, every single one of us, needs a regular supply of water to live. The first thing that they do for somebody when they're in the hospital is give them fluids, right? So that's because the percentage of water in a person's body can vary from roughly 45% to 75%. And when you're low on that, you're near death. So water is essential to life. Let's look again at another passage in Isaiah before we continue on. Isaiah chapter 58. I want us to read just verse 11. We could go so many other places, but this is just a little touch. Verse 11, it says, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing stream. Yes, God. Doesn't this sound like the words Jesus told to this woman at the well? Yeah. The woman where he came to the well with a divine appointment to have a divine encounter. Yeah. She didn't know when she was going to that well in the middle of the day. We're not going to go there, but you could read about it in John chapter 4. She didn't realize that when she was going to that well, she was good. She thought she was going to just get water, but she left with so much more. She left with the understanding and the realization that she had encountered the Son of the living God. Jesus told her those words. He says, if you only knew who you were talking to, you would ask him and he would give you living water. See, that's what Jesus always offers. Anybody that comes to him, he gives him refreshing water. We all need a refreshing.
Isn't that so true? We all need a refreshing from God, and not just on Sunday, but on a daily basis. It's forsake not the assembling of yourselves. It's good to watch online. When it's time to get up and go to church, when it's Sunday, you go. You know, before I was born again, I drank a lot of booze. I mean, I drank a lot of it, enough to float battleships. But one day I realized that I couldn't quench my thirst from that empty cup. Even though it was full of booze, it was an empty cup. But when I met Jesus, Lord, even till today, people say, that man's always happy. I stay high on Jesus Christ. Why? I've become saturated with the refreshing of God in my life. Why? I drink from him and he drinks from me. Remember, the more you commit, and I want to use that word strong, commit to get into God's presence, the more you're going to accomplish in your life and on this planet. That's for your family, for your friends, and for the world. See, you don't live unto yourself. You live for everybody else. Maybe you're feeling depleted and flat run dry. How about let's get saturated in the Holy Spirit? Can I pray for you now? Touch these people, Lord, that are dry, and send them a refreshing drink of the Spirit of God Almighty. Bless them and honor them today, this day, the Lord's day. Father, I thank you for it because I call every day the Lord's day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What a simple prayer. And all we have to simply do is just believe it. You know, it's not a hard thing to believe things. Just think about a child. Children are born believers till you teach them to doubt. You start telling them something, you see their little eyes go, why? Because they believe in what you're saying. They're getting it in. They're getting that refreshing. Oh, it's such a blessing. Kathy's coming right now with some glorious moments. That's your testimonies that you sent in. Kathy, take it away. Bless the Lord. Bless these wonderful people and bless me. Watch this now.
Hello, I believe you're encouraged by today's broadcast. Now I wanted you to get ready for your faith to rise even higher. Listen to these miracles that are happening around the world. Let's start with this testimony. I've been a partner for 7 months and born again for 7 months. I'm so grateful and blessed with this new way of living. I came to your church when you blessed our prayers in January of 2024. One of my prayers was to have my thyroid back. I had my thyroid taken out in 2002, and I've been praying since I had it taken out to have it back. I've been on medication twice a day since then. The fantastic, wonderful, great, amazing news is that Jesus restored my thyroid and I am no longer on medication. I feel better than I've ever felt in my life, stronger and more fit. I'll be getting a scan in a couple of months. Thank you, Jesse, for facilitating my supernatural healing. I also tithe 10% weekly, and I see that my abundance is also growing. I pray to be debt-free with overflow so that I can give back and serve others. This one, excellent, says, I've learned so much since I've been watching your boardroom chats. I love how Sister Kathy and Brother Jesse explain things. It sure helps me to see the truth the way I'm supposed to see it. I have learned so much about tithing and obedience. Thank you so much. God put it on my heart for a while, and I'm thankful I became a partner about 3 months ago. I feel so good about it. Keep bringing the boardroom chats. I love that. And this last one says, Jesse, your humor and clear sermons led my son to Jesus. I'll never be able to repay this gift you have given me. An eternity with my son, no matter what this life may bring. Thank you. You know, I want people to hear your glorious moment too. So please send it in, and I pray that God will bless you this week as you stir up your faith and stay strong with God. God bless you. You can broadcast the wonderful works of God right where you are. We have been entrusted to see to it that this message gets communicated to everyone, everywhere. You could be the one that changes somebody's life. You may not change thousands, but if you change one, that's all that counts.
Kathy Duplantis's Glorious, A Conference for Women, March 7th and 8th, 2025.
Our November product order is this wonderful book I wrote many years ago, God's Not Enough, He Too Much. This book is full of revelation knowledge, and it's loaded with powerful truths and funny real-life moments that reveal God's true nature. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org for all the ordering information. You'll be blessed. God's not enough. He's too much. Used to be in hardcover, sold out. Now it's in paperback. It will bless you and minister greatly to you. Get it today, jdm.org. Partners, thank you. I tell you what, I get so excited when you send in your faithful financial support, not because it's about money, but it's because it's about vision. I'm a vision specialist. I don't mean that pridefully. God has called me to preach vision, and I preach it constantly. People say, why don't you ever get depressed? Because I'm always looking ahead instead of looking behind. Because the past never sees the future. I just keep going forward. There's a vision to go in the world, preach this gospel to every creature. I do that, even at this age. And hallelujah, I mean, I don't care how old I get or how old I look, I'm going to preach this glorious gospel. Your faithful financial seed is so vitally important in us doing that. You know, I wish it was free, but it's not. I wish it was, but buddy, it costs money to travel. It costs money to be on television. It costs money for these lights, all this studio, cameras, people behind it. Nothing wrong with all of that. I don't have a problem with any of that. But 100% of what you send, I want to make this announcement, goes into world evangelism. We're debt-free, been debt-free since 1982. That's a pretty good investment in God's future. You send me $20, the whole $20 goes into world evangelism. That's pretty good. Send me $20 million. 100%. In the world evangelism. That's what we do. I thank you, partners, for all you do. Until next week, Jesse the Plan said, we love you. We really do. And we pray for you every day. You'll never be a day without prayer. See you next week. Bye-bye.
The Lord spoke to me. He said, it's time to get some things done.
Give God a job.
You keep him busy, he's going to keep you busy. But you've got to constantly be saying, is there anything too hard for the Lord? What are you willing to believe? What are you willing to receive? And what are you willing to complete? Because it's time for us to complete destiny and reach destination.
There are times when we are called to take a stand for what is right. Our November partner offer is a popular boardroom chat that Kathy and I did. It's called Civil Disobedience. All of us are called to be responsible citizens who obey the law unless those laws violate God's law. There's godly wisdom and direction in this. Order your copy at jdm.org and you will learn something wonderful. Thank you very much.
Giving is not just the answer to receiving. You got to have faith in your giving. You have to have faith in your seed that it will come up. That's what it said. And unto you that hear, faith come by hearing. Unto you that faith shall more be given. So harvest comes by what? By faith.